Hello, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm excited to have you back. Or if you're listening for the first time, thank you for joining me today. And I'm excited to talk to you about this specific topic because chances are you're looking to grow your business and you're probably thinking about creating something new or taking a spin on something that you already have, but chances are you haven't really considered upgrading your customer experience, because this is something that we often overlook. Some people really focus on it, but most of us get carried away with the actual offering, which is great. But sometimes, and even for myself, it's easy to forget the whole experience and how that experience impacts the customer on the other side really does impact your business. Because if you have a phenomenal customer experience, you're more likely to have more referrals from other people. And this organically grows your business, which is super exciting. And it's easier than you think. I don't know about you, but chances are some of us out there, including myself, think like, oh, I have to make more money before I can do these really cool things. But we have to think about how we can amplify our customer experience with what we have right now. And maybe you do need to change some pricing to figure out how you can do that. But oftentimes you just need to be creative and think outside the box a little bit so that you can really increase that customer experience. So I have a guest today that is going to share so much information with you, and I'm really excited for you to learn from him because he takes his experience in the restaurant industry and applies it to your business. And he shares 5 very specific tips for you. And again, you can start implementing them right away. You're going to walk away from this conversation so inspired to upgrade your customer experience and therefore impact more lives. And I know that that's what you want to do. I know you want to impact more lives. And when you think about your customer experience, you will be able to do that. And the super, super benefit is that along the way, you're also going to be creating scalable systems. We talk about this too, because when we're thinking about our customer experience, you can have a great customer experience with one person, but what if all of a sudden you had 100 new customers today? It sounds great from a revenue standpoint, but when it comes to systems, usually it would break down. The good news about our guest today is telling you how you can do this in a scalable way. So I know you're going to enjoy it, and I won't make you wait too much longer, but I got to tell you about him before I turn the mic over. So Ernesto Mandowski is the CEO of CPD Advisors, where he designs systems to improve revenue, referrals, and retention. So many great things. He has over a decade of experience of building systems for startups, family-owned businesses, and Fortune 500 companies. And so he has designed his 6-pillar system that helps you optimize your organization. And he's also the host of the Regenerate Your Business podcast and shares so much wisdom from leaders who continuously reinvigorate their teams while increasing impact around the world through their unique offerings. He's going to share so much wisdom with you. So let's jump in. This is the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a podcast for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a profitable and productive business that you are proud of. On this show, we explore entrepreneurship success stories, but not just the highlights. We get into the nitty-gritty details so that you know more about the path traveled to achieve that success. See, I'm on a mission to help you never feel like a failure again when it comes to achieving your goals. And so much of that is setting realistic expectations of the effort needed, goals that align with the season of your life, and ensuring that you have the accountability in place that you need. So on this podcast, you can expect real conversations, practical tips, and lots of encouragement along the way so that you have everything you need to follow through and actually achieve your definition of success. So if you're ready to go from unsure to unapologetic, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Ernesto, thank you so much for being here today.
I'll do anything for a fellow gator.
I love that answer. Oh my gosh, that was the best intro to a podcast ever. Thank you. I am such a Gator fan and really appreciate that we can be on this podcast together. Go Gators.
Go Gators.
And other than being Gator fans, go Gators, we are also both entrepreneurs. And what I like to ask people on this podcast is, how did you stumble into entrepreneurship?
Oof, this wild ride. Well, after I wrote a book, or I started writing a book, in 2016. And I finally finished in 2020. You know, sometimes, wow, like when you see things that cannot be unseen. At the end of my book, I basically realized that the beautiful story that I wrote about my career, my experience in restaurants, it was all a beautiful story. It was also like a facade. It was something that was just distracting me from what I had been afraid to do the entire time, my entire life, which is be an entrepreneur. And so, wow. So I said, I did not know what it was going to look like, but I needed to bring the power of cross-pollination design into the world. And that's what led me to start my company, CPD Advisors.
That is fantastic. So thank you for that short version, because I'm certain that there's a lot more words that could be said about that part of your journey. But it's very interesting. You and I have both written a book, and it's so interesting. Now that I've met so many more authors, it's like everyone learns a lot about themselves when they start writing a book. Mm-hmm. And it's led to pivots in career, business, all of those things. So it did that for me as well. How did you get the courage or like push through to go from, okay, and I'm going to use the word that you didn't use, but like you had a successful career. I'm assuming you had a job with the salary, all these things. And then you were like, I'm going to start my own business. What specifically did that look like? Because there's so many people listening to this podcast that whether they have a full part-time job or they're thinking about starting a business, and that fear is crippling for people.
Yeah. I think it was less about fear and more about pain.
Oh.
So the very short story, I always wanted to get into restaurants. Then it pivoted into restaurants and tech, specifically systems engineering. And then again, skipping lots of info, basically created the dream job. I was working for Landry's Restaurants Group as a restaurant analyst. And every single day I was doing the same job. I was looking at the numbers, looking at the spreadsheets, and I was miserable. I mean, it was just painful. It was just boring. And I was getting phone calls about why I messed up on the cell E39, why the formulas were off. And it's like, dude, like F off. Like, I don't care. And it was COVID and it was weird. And I was just like, this is not exciting. And so, yeah, I was just like annoyed with the experience that I was going through. And through publishing the book, I realized, you know what, it's time to make a change. It's time to take responsibility and make it happen.
Right. So it was more like, and it's interesting. I talk to so many people who are trying to do something, whatever their goal is. And oftentimes, every time, I've never met anyone who doesn't run into some sort of roadblock along the way where it's like, I want to do this thing, whatever the goal is, and they hit some roadblock. Mm-hmm. And in order to get through any roadblock that you have, the pain has to be greater than standing still. Like it just does. Not doing the thing, not pushing through has to be greater in order to like navigate through that. And that's what I'm hearing. You were like, if I have to answer another question about a spreadsheet, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you create it. It's interesting that you used the phrase earlier, like I created the dream job, but it became a nightmare.
A nightmare. Yeah. Yeah. Be careful what you wish for.
Truth.
You might just get it. And then it's a new dream.
Right.
That's fine. That's beautiful.
Right. So I want everyone to hear that again of like, it's a new dream, because so many people, myself included sometimes, because I have very high follow through. Like if you took a personality test, you saw it. That is one of the highest strengths I have, which is great, except sometimes you don't need to follow through. Sometimes it's time to let things go. And that's often harder for me. So it's not impossible. Entrepreneurship has definitely taught me to let things go, but it's one of those things I have to work towards. So when someone is thinking like, okay, I picked this thing, whatever it is, the goal, the business, whatever, but sometimes a new dream emerges and you have to make some changes. And so that's what you did. I mean, that you created the business, and I'm certain over entrepreneurship, as your journey has evolved, things have evolved and your business has evolved too.
Totally. Totally. I think, I can't remember who said this, but like entrepreneurship is the most advanced self-development program you'll ever go through.
Yes. Yes,
if,
it is.
If people are listening to this, like they're hearing podcasts, they're reading the audiobooks, they're doing the things, but like entrepreneurship, it's like you're in the fire.
Every day, you're all like, day.
Every day, every single day. And if, like, yes, it's like the willingness to learn new things and let go of things, but like you literally have to, because you're trying to, like in a job, when you're working, everything is predictable. I mean, of course, you can't predict your manager calling you at 7 p.m. asking to be on the 8 a.m. meeting.
Right.
But like your salary is predictable, the benefits, like you know it's going to be there. And in entrepreneurship, it's just like you have millions of variables that are changing every single day. That combined with our emotions, and it just becomes such a, it's like PhD level of personal development.
It is. You know, and I'm going to call attention to something that I think is important. So before we hit record, you and I both said, because we were friends enough to get on a call, and we said, we're both having a hard day. Like I said, I'm just having one of those hard days, and you said you were having a hard day. And so if anyone's having a hard day, I want you to know that we have hard days too. But what you said was the willingness, you know, to accept it and move forward. And I'm not saying you can't cancel things, but like we kept going. And we have this podcast interview, and we're going to keep going with the day. It's not like it just stopped. And I'm, you know, it's one of those things that I think I certainly didn't know about entrepreneurship before I signed up and jumped in the fire of like, oh, there's going to be days that are going to be way harder than when I used to go to the office. However, there's days that are way more rewarding too.
So much better. So much more like juicy, exciting, and lit up, and yeah, because it's like literally the fruits from your garden, like these relationships, these friendships, these insights that we can create when we work at a company. Yes, there's a lot more security, but there's a lot more restriction, and there's a lot more policy, and there's a lot more like a uniform, and you know, you have to act a certain way, and it's all fine. There's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. It's just a different set of parameters.
Yeah, I found myself saying a lot lately that we all choose our hard. Working for someone else is hard. Working for yourself is hard. I think we just have to choose our hard. And for me, I love entrepreneurship. And it's the hard I choose. I'm not saying I'll never work for someone ever again, but it's the hard that I choose. And it sounds like the hard that you choose too.
Totally.
So as you've evolved throughout your journey, and now you do this amazing thing, and something that was really interesting that you and I have talked about, and we're talking about the customer experience today. And I'm curious how you took the restaurant experience and applied it into how you now help us entrepreneurs figure out the back end so that we can have a great customer experience with our clients.
Yeah. Well, the restaurant industry is one of the few spaces where you will see all 6, 8, 10 areas of a business confined inside of a 2,000 square foot area. And everyone is doing everything. And the server is IT and finance and sales and customers. Like you are wearing all, like we're all wearing all the hats in the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
And so because also everyone goes out to eat, or it's a very relatable thing. Food is all over Instagram now and TikTok, and you know, COVID, everyone learned banana bread. And so
I tried my hand at the sourdough, but I never did the banana bread. But sourdough made its appearance in this house for sure.
So everyone knows restaurants or the experience, or like they have an idea of it. So when I teach concepts like customer journey, or you know, creating contracts in your boundaries, you use metaphors from the restaurant because people understand if I try to explain to an entrepreneur, hey, when you give a when you give out a proposal, you have to do an expiring quote of 7 days. And they'll be like, huh? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand why that's relevant. If I say, hey, it's just like if you have a reservation for 7 o'clock and the guest doesn't show up, and now the 7:30 reservation isn't going to get to sit, you're going to lose money. So you share stories like that, and people now get it.
Right.
Because business systems it's very ethereal. It's like theoretical. It's complex. It's something that entrepreneurs aren't interested in. They're interested in making money and making an impact and growing their business, not necessarily how to create a structure in your business.
Oh my gosh. You speak the truth, my friend. This is so very true. I cannot tell you how many times I've worked with people, and I'm not the systems and tech person. Now, I'm a very organized person on the back end of my business, but I don't necessarily teach that like you do. But people will ask questions like, well, how do you figure all this out? And it's interesting because what I've realized of working with entrepreneurs is all these entrepreneurs who I've worked with, sounds like the same as you, they wanted to make an impact with another human, with another person, in whatever capacity that is. And they're good at that thing, whatever it is, they're good at that thing. They didn't necessarily understand how to figure out how to make the email system talk to the lead generation system and all of these things. And it creates so much headache. But thinking about it like that and those analogies of tying it together is so much more helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's as a trainer, I'm in training and education, it's like you have to find these metaphors to help my clients learn. But similarly, like you said, you work with mostly service providers. Mm-hmm. We are all trainers. We're all like the fitness trainer. When the customer comes, and the service provider could be a marketing agency or it could be lawn services. Like, people are coming to you and you have to explain to them like what it is, the work that they need to do so that you can do the thing you need to do. And if you're not effective in that communication, then that is a potential cause for conflict.
Right. Gosh, those expectations. I think so many relationships in our life, whether it's business or otherwise, is, you know, if we can just set those expectations of here's what I'm going to do, here's what you're going to do, and here's how we can work together, my gosh, it makes a big difference.
Exactly.
Hey there. I promised to get you back into the episode really soon, but I wanted to share a special message with you today. So maybe you're feeling like you've let yourself or others down because your business isn't performing like it has before or you think it should be right now. I want you to know that you, my friend, are not alone. So many of my clients are feeling this way as well, but the clients who are still feeling proud of their businesses have two things in common. They've continued to make progress towards their goal, and their business is still profitable. So even if they aren't exactly where they wish they were, they are still proud because of these two things. I'm on a mission to help entrepreneurs build a profitable and productive business. And if you're looking to do this, I would absolutely love to support you. You can find all of the available options on my website at amandamckinney.com/work with me. But if you still aren't sure what option is best for you, or you just want to have a conversation, send me an email or a direct message on Instagram with the word support, and we can have a chat and see what will fit your needs the best. Okay, let's get back into the episode. So you have a few different things that we could talk about today. And when we think about the customer journey and the customer experience, you've mentioned to me a few different things that can help us have a better customer experience. And I'd love to explore those.
Sure. So I have what are called the 5 improvement ideas. And these are ideas that come from, again, from the hospitality industry. So the first one is all around understanding the human. It's so important to like create that connection with people right off the bat. And when you look at a restaurant, what is one of the first things that the waitress or the server will ask you? And that's going to be something like, oh, what brought you in tonight? Why are you here? Like, what are you celebrating?
Right.
They want to understand, like, okay, like, what's the essence? What's what's the juice behind like why we're here? Mm-hmm. And in business, it's like, hey, what is the reason why you're looking for my solution? You really can mm-hmm. connect on an emotional level, not just, oh, everything's messed up. You need a business system. If you want to understand what lights up Amanda in mm-hmm. terms of why she, like what she's striving for.
Right. Or what the, I'm assuming, I'm making an assumption here. Or like, where's the pain point? Because I could have shown up to your doorstep of like, oh my gosh, like something is wrong and I have to fix it. Or it could be, I want something to be better. Is that a correct assumption that I'm making?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's still understanding like what is the human need
sure.
behind like right. why they're there, whether it's a pain or happiness or, yeah. or whatever. It's like really connecting with that, because that needs to be kind of like the grounding emotion throughout the experience. You're mm-hmm. continuing to remind them of that reason, of that emotion, why they're there.
Oh, that's great. Like celebrating the birthday at a restaurant.
Yeah, celebrating the birthday, celebrating the anniversaries, the promotion, mm-hmm. you know, just won the lottery, whatever it is. Because I mean, it's good to like celebrate that human yeah. on a phone call.
Yeah. So. Oh, that's great. I love that.
So that's the first one. The second one, I say offering welcome gifts. Mm. We spoke about a colleague earlier, Barb.
Yeah, and shout out to Barb.
Shout out to Barb. Excellent relationship, Zen master.
Yes.
We had a great like ping pong last night about like how we could like take our relationship tracking. And she sent me cookies today. It's like, aww. Whoa, like that's amazing. I mean, we're not even client or anything. Like she just sent me a gift. And when you send these gifts to clients, vendors, partners, people who make a difference, like again, it's going to make a huge huge impact in very intangible ways. In a restaurant, when you're at a fine dining restaurant, you receive, the French word is an amuse-bouche, which is a gift from the chef to like, you know, warm up the taste buds to like get you excited, or a welcome cocktail. These are like different ways that you invite the guest as soon as they're seated.
Hmm. I love that. So I'm going to ask the question that I know about 50% of my audience is thinking right now. What if you can't afford it? Like most people want to do it, but I want you to tackle this objection because I know it's going to happen, because I know you have an answer for this, because I'm assuming it doesn't always have to be something that like sending cookies, but that's a nice delight.
It's a relative answer. If you're selling, I mean, a handwritten card
right.
is still beautiful. Hey, Amanda, thank you so much for joining my course. I'm so excited to, you know, teach mm-hmm. you or learn with you. $5. I think, you know, there's a thing about scarcity in entrepreneurship. Like, I can't afford it is a big scarcity word. Mm-hmm. And if someone buys a $500 course for you, sorry, you can afford a $5 coffee gift card or a $3 right. card, or, you know, there has to be something to say with like, what are you investing back in yourself? You know, mm-hmm. that's a whole mindset issue. I have customers that I teach business systems and they're like, I don't want to pay for Zapier. And I'm like, well, we're not going to work together if you're not going to pay for Zapier, because I'm trying to teach you how to like really up level your game. And I can't work with that scarcity stuff. Sorry right. if someone's listening and is being triggered by my, you have to spend money, but
right.
there are levels. It doesn't have to be a $40, you know, notebook and mug and kit. It doesn't need to be all that, but mm-hmm. $5 goes a long way.
It does. And thank you for saying that. I figured you were going to say something like that. And I completely say the same thing of it really just depends. I mean, especially if it's a higher end product, if someone's working with someone one-on-one and it's $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 that we're talking, like absolutely send them a gift. And it's something that you just have to be intentional with. But even the handwritten card, if you have someone's address, now I will also say I have worked with people that did not want to give me their address, which is totally fine. And in that case, it's send a gift card to their email. Like there is a way in which you can get around this. And I totally agree with that. So it's getting creative. And also understanding when that mindset comes in, I would assume too. And it's okay to be mindful of your purchases and expenses, but like you said, like we got to catch it because sometimes someone's like, but I can't spend that $5 when someone just bought a $500 course.
Then maybe entrepreneurship isn't for you because right. This is an abundance sport. It's truly an abundance, like the arena for abundance.
Right. And I would say one of the things that I caught myself in early on was this type of mentality of, oh, I'll do that later when I can charge more. And I thought, you know what? I need to start pricing my offerings in a way that I can show up in that way. And I can't say that I have that high ticket offering because I've had an idea for an event for a really long time and that is not something that I'm focused on right now. And there's like a private chef there. Like the experience is through the roof, right? But it's not something I'm focused on. But what I did do when I realized that that was what I wanted to do was I started pricing things differently so that I could send that gift.
Exactly. A lot of, I think, money, finance isn't something that an entrepreneur founder would typically think of. But like just like you have goal setting and intention setting, there's unit economics. Like you've got to look at your product, look at the price, look at the cost, see what it takes to fulfill it, put in that $5 cost in there for the gift card or whatever, factor that in. And if it's still too low or whatever, then figure out how to give more value so that you could raise the price and then afford the $5 gift card.
Right. Thank you for that. I know we needed to spend a little extra time on that one because it gets everyone. It's not just the person listening. It's like we all navigate this at some point, but it's important to call attention to it.
Totally. So the third one, I call it present your brand proudly. So you want to really demonstrate the vibrancy, uniqueness of your brand. I give proposals to Notion pages. I have a beautiful banner at the top with like that's similar to the web, like the hero of my website. Or, you know, so many times you see these contracts or proposals like sent on a Google Doc with just no formatting. It's like, is that how you're going to treat like the actual service you're going to provide? But when they see something beautiful, like header, branding, you know, they're like, wow, this person takes his craft seriously. He's an artist, true artist. He's going to deliver that quality when he does whatever it is that he or she or they are delivering.
That is so true. And I know that it's easier to send that Google Doc. Like that is the easier thing. But when we're thinking about an experience overall, yeah, you can tell a huge freaking difference if you get something that feels branded versus seeing an unbranded Google Doc. And that's so important. It does take time, but it doesn't take that much time to create the template.
No. So with Canva these days? Oh, man.
Right.
I mean, and great like graphic designers you could find online.
Yes.
Like, you should be able to do it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And then once you have the template, it's simply putting in the new client's name and exactly. Moving forward. So it's worth that time.
Exactly.
I love that.
So that's the third one.
Yes.
The fourth one is prompt follow-up. I'll be very attentive to your client's needs. When you're at a restaurant, the server is checking in on you every 15 minutes. You might not need anything, but they're checking in. They're showing up. Is everything okay? And so when you look at your customer experience, maybe after the onboarding call or maybe like halfway through or 30 days in, 60 days in, I mean, it looks different for everyone, but have that like prompt follow-up with the client, ensuring that their meal is going fabulously, asking them if they need water, if they need another drink, if they need another appetizer, if the food is tasting delicious, like what, how can, you know, if something's wrong, how can we make it right? Like really being attentive and following up and showing up.
Absolutely. We all, at least for me, and I'm assuming everyone else just did the same thing, is thinking like those great experiences we've had in a restaurant of like, oh, that person was right there. How did they know I wanted this other thing? And how did, you know, they anticipated things versus the one where you're like, okay, I've got to pay attention because I've got to get her or his attention because they're not paying attention to me. Right. And that is the most frustrating thing when it's like, dang it, I just want some water over here.
Yeah. And then LOL at the end of the meal, they're like, please leave a Google review. You're like, no. They're saying that because they know that, like, you're not.
Yeah. And so thinking about it from our business perspective, I know we're laughing about that, but it's like taking the time to really think about that, the whole journey, not just onboarding someone, but the whole time you're working with someone, how can you be attentive to their needs and anticipate their future needs? Gosh, that is such a great point. And I appreciate you calling attention to that.
Of course. And then the last one is going to be kind of a surprise, but it does go full circle. Entrepreneurs typically are not doing the whole like values exercise. Or maybe they do, but I haven't really, it hasn't been too common. We'll set our values later. The last idea is sort of demonstrating your values, like the beingness, but not as Amanda or Ernesto, but as an organization. Like if my organization's value is Michelin starred transformation, like I better have a damn good customer experience. If I'm saying that like flexibility is a core value, then my course, my consulting, my offering better meet the customer where they're at. Like it better be designed in a way that there's alignment between values and the thing and the journey. So demonstrating those and consistently reminding the customer and marketing to the world, like this is how we do things. This is what it means in our actual business. It raises that integrity. And that is, I mean, that's what you're paying for. You're paying for a company that's going to actually deliver what they say they're going to deliver in the time with the constraints of whatever you're dealing with. Like, that's why you pay a Deloitte hundreds of thousands of dollars, because they're going to solve that crazy complex problem. Mm-hmm. So when you're being your values, that is probably like one of the highest ways to guarantee a customer come back, or maybe they won't come back because they don't need your service, but they will refer 7 friends to your service because it's like, wow, that was amazing.
Yeah. That one is more of a surprise, but it's such a good surprise at the end there. Because I think, it was really good. You know, I think at least the clients I've worked with often do think about their values at some point. Typically when they first start their business, they think about it. I'm not saying they all write them down or go through an exercise, but there's something there. But very rarely, I feel bad saying this, it's like very rarely is it to where it's like, I recite them to myself every day. We are ingrained in this in our company. This is what we stand for. Like it's top of mind all the time. And you're right. Like if you said Michelin star experience is like what you provide, which by the way, I feel like you do. I feel like you definitely do inside your programs and how you show up for your clients. Like I definitely feel like you could do that and say like this white glove service is happening. And so if you said that to yourself every day, you'd show up differently, in which you do. And so if we can all do that, and then it comes through in all of our interactions and it guides everything. So I love that surprise number 5.
Yeah.
So when we do this, so when we improve these 5 things, and inevitably our business is going to grow. And this is where I believe, I mean, you shine in a lot of ways, but I believe this is where things really, like you take the stage, because a lot of people that I work with are like, I want to grow my business. And many times I'll say, okay, if you were to gain 20 clients today, could you actually take them on? Because I had a coach ask me that once and it was a mind-blowing experience. And I was like, absolutely not. Like, I think I'd have a heart attack. Definitely things would break. And I realized how broken things were. And to be fair, all of our businesses start that way. You can't start a business that's like super scalable from day one. Like you got to learn some things.
Correct.
But when we do these things, we're going to scale. And you've created a system of these 6 P's that help us really understand how to build a business so that it can scale. Can you touch on that a little?
Yeah. So I think one of the biggest challenges inside of organizations in general is that there is no shared language. And so the six P's that I have, it creates a shared understanding between groups of people. Because as you grow your business from 5 to 15 to 30 to 60 clients, it's not just you and a marketing person and a VA. Probably have a team of 7, 10, 15 people. You all need to be in lockstep when it comes to how you set goals, how you track your relationships, how you execute on projects, how you scope projects, how you close projects, how you communicate. What is the marketing calendar looking like? What are the playbooks? What is onboarding? Like all these things, the founder typically has no idea because they're so good at just finding clients and sharing the vision and the future of the company. But it's that they're not typically great at being more effective when you triple in size. It's like you said, like I get a heart attack when I get 20 new clients.
Right. It would be like the most exciting thing. And then immediately it would be panic. I remember my coach asking me that and I thought, I realized everything was wrong. Like, what am I going to do? But I was so grateful for that coach that asked because now I like figured out, okay, I need to figure out what standard operating procedures are and start writing those. And these are the things. And these are the things that you help us do with these six P's. And I just love that because you have created this, then we, the person who, like you said, is good at just showing up and talking to someone, and someone is like, yeah, I want what you're putting down. Like, I definitely want that. And when more and more people say yes, the founder, the service provider needs to step away from that role and can't do the onboarding all the time or can't do all of the back end admin stuff, nor do they need to because you're not as effective in that way. And so coming up with these six P's and going through it and creating what, and I loved how you told me about this originally, which was, you create the box, and yes, then your team gets to use that box to help more people.
Correct. Correct. The box becomes, it's actually the sandbox that everyone understands how it works and how to play in the sandbox.
Oh, that's great. I like that. How to play in the sandbox. And I like that shared language that you were talking about as well, just understanding and creating a system. And if we really take a step back and think about, if we were to jump into a new role at someone else's company, not our own, would we be like, this ship is not running well? Like, I don't know what's happening here. And I think most people would say, yeah, that's probably what's happening in our business.
Yeah. I like recently created this really epic Google Sheet. It's called The Cost of Chaos.
Oh, I like that.
it's like a couple of questions and it's like, okay, how much money do you want to make this year? Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know, $200,000. How many weeks do you want to work? 50. How many hours a week? 40. Okay, so that's 2,000 hours. It's like, all right, what's the hourly? It's now the hourly cost or like revenue creation rate. So then it's like, how many times a day are you looking for information? Mm. The answer is probably like, I don't know, 20, 30, 50. Trying to answer a question that you have. And it's like, how long does it take you to find that information? It's like, I don't know, 3 minutes, eight minutes, 9 minutes. When you look at like each individual moment, it's not that big of a deal. But when you multiply 9 minutes times 50 times a day times 50 times, that's however many hours. And then you look at the hourly rate that is typically supposed to be producing money. It's like, holy shit. This is like tens of thousands of dollars that it's costing me every single day. And so that becomes like very clear. Wow, I need to get my shit together. Because otherwise, I'm losing money.
This is not going to work out.
Yeah.
The chaos is real. And I really like what you said and appreciate what you said of like, if you think about just one time, oh, it just took 3 minutes. It just took 9 minutes. It's fine. That added up is unbelievable in terms of what you could be doing with that 9 minutes added up over time. And maybe that means taking that time off. Because a lot of people that I work with are like, I want to have more flexibility. Well, sometimes more flexibility is actually offloading things, figuring out a system, offloading it somehow so that you can take the time off.
Mm-hmm. And you know, for for like you or me, maybe with smaller teams, maybe with a couple of contractors, you know, whatever, maybe it's a couple, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in waste. But now when you look at agencies that have 10 people, 15 people, 20 people,
right,
that's a lot of money that's going to waste.
And, you know, everyone that I, at least everyone I want to work with and everyone you are working with is like, I want to grow. I want to, and maybe it's not grow revenue. It's like, I want to impact more people. I want to, whatever the case is that they're wanting to do something in their business. And if you want to do that, you're probably going to grow a team. You're probably going to do different things in your business. And so anything that you're doing, if it's not organized behind the scenes, I feel like it's going to be a train wreck at some point.
Exactly.
So thank you for doing what you do. Can you tell everyone a little bit about your amazing course? Because I have personally seen the back end of it and it's phenomenal. So I highly recommend it. And I'll make sure all the links are in the show notes. But after me saying about these six P's and talking about this, I feel like people are going to want to know more about it.
Yeah. So my course is the Starting with Systems Accelerator. And I call it an accelerator because it really, you're blasting through the universe of systems. You set up your six P's in one day if you want to.
That's incredible.
I, you know, all the values, everything I spoke about, I really designed what I believe is a five-star experience to get your priorities, your people, your projects, your promotion, your playbooks, your planning, all these elements set up in your business. Because this is basically the first step in working with me. Once you have your initial box set up, you plug your VA to run that box, I continue to mentor that VA so that you, the founder, can go back out and keep focusing on clients. People typically say like, oh man, now I have to run this system. No, it's like you build the box, give it to someone to run, and then you can get back out there and you can do it in a day if you really want to. You can do it in one day, in one sitting.
I love it.
Because I know systems are, it's overwhelming and I want it to be fast, smooth, painless. And even though you could do it in a day, you do have access for 3 months. And you come to office hours and I'm there every week troubleshooting and answering questions and helping you traverse the universe.
I love it. And you really do. You help break things down. I am not the person who loves figuring things out. Like I really like, okay, here's my problem. Here's what I'm trying to understand and do. And it's like, I need someone who already knows what to do and can just help me figure out my problem because the tech side of things can get really frustrating for me. So you've been such a support where I can just ask a question and say, hey, I've got this idea. And I remember that was the first connection you and I had and we were just chit-chatting and I was like, I've got this idea. And you just had all these ideas of how I could make it better and more scalable in my business. And I just feel like we need people like you in our corner. So thank you for doing what you do. And like I said, I'm going to have the course link in the show notes, but can you tell everyone where they can find out more about you, learn from you on the internet?
On the interwebs, I am, my identity is Ernesto CPD across everything, across Instagram, across LinkedIn, across YouTube. I have YouTube videos. You can DM me on Instagram, really reach out. Everything I do, the whole mission is to regenerate your business, really re-energize your experience as a founder. So I invite you to reach out.
Yes.
The above-mentioned platform.
And I hope they do because you are such a joy to connect with and you have great content. You've been creating a lot of videos on Instagram lately, which has been really fun for me to enjoy and consume. So I hope people do connect with you. Thank you so much for being here today, Ernesto.
Thank you for having me.
I told you that was going to be so packed with information, and I hope you walked away with not just one, but several ideas of how you can upgrade your customer experience. And so this is the next step for you. I want you to think about the entire experience for one offering. Think about the person hearing about that offering for the first time, all the way through purchasing the offering and working with you. Think about ways that you could upgrade this experience and give it a little TLC, because chances are we all need it. We can all do this, and you can be doing this on an ongoing basis, but I want you to start with just one offering and really focus in on how you could make that experience even better for your clients. And then hopefully you're going to be getting a lot more referrals because of that amplified experience. And all along the way, I want you to remember about creating scalable systems. So when you think about this customer experience, think about how can I do this in a way that is repeatable? How can I do this in a way that's actually scalable if I gained 100 customers in a day? Maybe not everything will turn out to be as easy as it could be with that, but I know some offerings would be different. But think about it in a way of scaling. Maybe it's not 100 customers in a day, but maybe it's 20 referrals you get in a day. How would you follow up with them? How would you onboard them if it's a service-based business where you're onboarding new clients? How would you deliver whatever it is that you're delivering? Think through that experience and how you can make it awesome every step of the way, but also scalable. And until next time, give yourself permission to upgrade your experience and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you found it helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with someone else who could use it too. Sharing is caring, but it's also a huge boost to your accountability. Sharing this message and then talking about it will ensure that you actually take the action that was mentioned in this episode. Hello, accountability. There's nothing better than the feeling of actually following through, and I want that for you. So screenshot it, share it, and if you share it on Instagram, be sure to tag me at @TheAmandaMcKinney too. Until next time.